So we've got three constituencies and Avery on.
Okay.
Is that right? Registrar's business and registry.
Okay, why don't we try to get started. Dwayne, can you just run through who you have on the call again real quick, and we'll make sure we're not missing anyone?
Yvette Jordan. On the call, we have Marilyn Cage from the business constituency. Ross Rader, I think he's on mute at the moment, from registrars, and Tom Keller. David Maher from the registry constituency. David Ferris from the business constituency, and Avery Doria from the nominating committee.
Is there anyone on the call that Glenn didn't name?
Hi, it's Maria. I just joined.
Hi, Maria.
Okay, great. So I don't think we have anyone from the IPC, the ISPs, or the NCUC, but...
That's quite right.
That is just going to be bad for them, I guess. Operator, if you're listening in, can you start the recording now?
Sure, it will be just a few seconds.
Thanks. So, if you weren't thinking, that means... remaining before we finish the report. We have three calls left before our planned conclusion date on February 12th. And I want to make sure that I'm actually hoping that we can have a relatively short call today, but identify all the remaining work that we have to do, a bunch of which I'm hoping we can assign to people to work offline. And then I'm hoping that over the next, hopefully next week, we'll be able to incorporate any offline submissions and talk through any other changes. And then the following week, we will be done. So. With that in mind, the specific topics I want to talk about are, number one is a topic that Ross had raised before as something that we should include, and I agree, is success metrics as a new topic that doesn't yet exist in the report. I want to talk briefly about access to data, but I think we actually haven't probably... gotten a lot further than our last call, and I don't necessarily want to spend a whole lot of time on it on the call itself. I also want to talk about the way that we probably need to put together some sort of response to the public comments that we've received. I actually think it would be good to make sure that we're being responsive to them. And then the last thing I want to do is just review the general structure of the report and make sure that there's no other areas in which we're actually missing content that we need to be adding prior to the prior to its completion. So are there any other topics people would like to discuss on this call? Okay. Well, then, why don't we dive right in? First topic, then, is success metrics. And I think Russ is on mute, but I'm hoping he can unmute. And maybe since he had initially introduced this idea, talk through what he had in mind, then we can use that as a starting point for a conversation of what we might want to include along these lines. So, Russ? Or maybe we won't get him off mute. Okay. Well, I will
Hi, Jordan. Oh, there you are. I've got one of those smartphones that's not too smart. It takes me forever to do everything.
Yeah, no problem.
How's my line quality? Is it okay?
Yeah, it seems fine.
Okay. I can't talk much louder. I'm on a train, so let's try not to disturb the people around me. Just quickly, when I was bringing up success metrics, I was really referring to writing some statements into the policy that allow the task force and the GNSO as a whole to really measure the success of the implementation after the policies have been implemented. We had a similar statement written into the transfers task force policy a few years ago that called for a 3-6 and 12-month review of the policy. That review is still ongoing, and I think it's a very useful way for all of us to determine whether or not the policy needs further work after the fact, and provides a quick and easy means without necessarily instancing a full PDC of doing so. So that was generally what I was trying to put forward there.
So I think that makes sense. I wonder, Russ, do you have any initial thoughts about what some examples of those might be?
Well, I think pulling specific bits out of the terms of reference to see whether or not we've met those goals would be useful. For instance, have we increased or decreased total accuracy as a result of the implementation of these policies? Have we increased or decreased register on privacy as a result of these policies? Those sorts of things.
Okay. Marilyn, did I hear you trying to make a comment before?
No.
Marilyn? Started to hear her. Okay. So I think, at least until we get Marilyn back, I think it does probably make sense to try to put together some list of metrics that would be useful for...
Your line is in talk mode. To return to silent mode, press star 6.
Jordan?
Yeah?
When Ross returned to silent mode, he also put me on silent mode, so hopefully that may have happened to some others as well. Just a heads up to those listening. That was a technical issue. I just wanted to say that we did try to build in feedback as well from the implementation team, and I think that the success metrics need to be accompanied by feedback from the operational team on the problems they may encounter or the areas that may not be completely addressed as they try to implement the policy. I think in the last call, we had talked about how long it might take to implement some of the policies and the figure of, you know, maybe 18 to 24 months or maybe something less than that. It may be that feedback is needed to the council prior to the complete implementation, as well as identification of any concerns encountered as the operational team goes about trying to implement whatever the policy is.
Right. So you're suggesting we might even want to have a before the policy has actually been implemented or during the implementation, but before it's fully in place, some sort of reporting back by the operational team at that point.
Well, first of all, I think I mentioned last time that we really have to have a feasibility review by the operational team of whatever the policy is that's recommended. So that, I think, has to take place before even the council votes on it. It's, you know, we've done that. We're doing that on PDP 05, for instance. and we've done that previously. That's kind of a, okay, what's it going to take to implement this? So that's one step. But after that, I think that, you know, if it indeed is going to be a very prolonged implementation period, that there should be some feedback mechanisms along the way too.
Yeah, no, that might make some sense as well. Just like I asked Ross, what he might be looking for in the success metrics, what would you be looking for specifically in that feedback?
So if you take, for example, the idea that significant changes are suggested and there's going to be awareness raising for registrants, I'd be looking for feedback on what that is, how it's being developed, what the timing is to deploy it, but it clearly would need to be done before the change is implemented.
Right. Okay. Success of the any awareness raising activity. Okay, so just taking a quick look at each of our, I think maybe Ross's suggestion of looking at in terms of reference is probably useful. The first two items in the terms of reference relate to the purpose of who is itself and the purpose of the various contacts. And there, I think, beyond defining it, we've had some discussions about making people aware of the policy. So this is where it might make sense to have some feedback or reporting from the staff about, I would imagine we would want to look at just give some reporting back on the approach taken. Some of what we ask for is for ICANN in particular to set up some sort of awareness pages and so on. But in any case, for ICANN to complete that, and then but would you be looking for some actual metrics about, you know, whether or not people have actually seen this, or are you just looking to get some feedback, Marilyn, on whether ICANN's actually completed whatever awareness campaign it had?
Excuse me, Steve Metellus, Senate Joins.
Jordan, I think it has to go beyond just we drafted language. It would need to include what's being done to make that language visible, and maybe even, it probably depends on the extent of the change that is taking place and what the depth of change is required on the part of the registrant or the registrar, what needs to be sampled.
Yeah, I would think in all cases, actually, now that I'm thinking about this more, it might be useful to ask the staff to report back on whether people are aware of the various definitions of, you know, what these things are for, especially the contacts. That's an area that I think we've had some discussion in the past that some people or many people might not be familiar with the purpose of the various contacts. So if we're going to define them, it seems like then see if it has an effect on people's consciousness as well. So I think for terms of reference items 1 and 2, I would suggest that the two things that we'd want to look at are to report back on what, if anything, ICANN did to make people aware of the changes, and then 2, to what extent people are aware of the purposes. Is there any other success metrics people can think of with regards to these first two? The first two terms of reference? Okay. So the third item in the terms of reference then is the access to data terms of reference, which includes, I think, two elements. One is how data is made available to the public, and the second is how data that's not made available to the public or that's removed from the public view would be accessed. There's probably slightly different success metrics about that. Ross had suggested something about whether or not we're successfully protecting privacy, that might belong here, but I don't know exactly what that metric would look like. Ross, if I can trouble you to get off mute again, do you have any thoughts about how we might define a metric around the privacy issue? Or anyone else care to, since we may not get Ross back anytime soon?
No, I'm back.
Oh, there you are.
I always count to about 20. Just generally, it may be that some sort of a regular analysis or survey of the space is done. I'm not sure if you would achieve that through talking directly with the registrants to see whether or not they feel satisfied that their privacy goals are being met, or if there's a way to do that through media watch lists or something along those lines. But I'd want to think a little bit more about a specific, I think.
Okay, maybe we can put an action item here to think more about whether there are sort of obvious metrics that we could use for evaluating the success of the policies with regards to privacy concerns. So the other obvious sets of metrics I think that would make sense in this area would be a concern that's been raised in the past is that various of the policy changes might affect people's ability to get access to either the registrant or to the contact that they would need to get in touch with in order to resolve problems. It seems like perhaps there's another success metric in section in terms of reference 3 regarding contactability of the relevant people to resolve issues. And once again, I think I'm not 100% sure what that is. I don't know. Does anyone have ideas of how you might measure whether and how we've affected contactability?
I think that one might be a little bit more straightforward, Jordan, in that we could very we could measure the current situation pretty easily. And then compare that to an implementation after the policy has been enacted. Compare the performance. So send some messages through the system now, see how long they take on average, and then measure that with any future implementation.
Yeah, that's probably not a bad idea.
Jordan, the question is, how do we measure contactability?
Yeah, that's exactly right, David.
It's not just an issue of timing, though, is it? It's also an issue of the ability to make contact with the different contacts that exist today in the WHOIS database and publicly available, right?
Well, so I guess I'm open to suggestions of metrics, but I mean, one concern that's been raised, I think, is that the net effect of, like for example, the OPOC proposal, the net effect is that it would make it harder to communicate with the right person in order to resolve problems. So I want to figure, is there a reasonable way to measure it? So one way is just to try to get in touch with the information published in WHOIS and say, okay, hey, who would, are you the right person to talk to resolve a problem and see whether you get a response back or not. Not saying that you'll actually get the problem resolved, but I don't think that's a problem that WHOIS can fix in any case.
Mm-hmm. This is Steve. I'm not quite sure how you would measure the baseline of that because, the reality is there's a lot of different types of problems and not only, it's going to vary from one to the other. So I'm not sure. I mean, I think you could probably anecdotally ask people, was it better under the old system or worse under the old system, but I'm not sure exactly how you would do it, how you would get a baseline now.
Yeah, so I don't think you'd probably get anything perfect. I think Ross's suggestion is you'd have to figure out some email that would be relatively generic, I guess, and you wouldn't try to say, like, hey, if I were trying to contact you about, like, a trademark concern or about a DDoS attack or about a DNS error, wouldn't probably name a specific issue when I talk to you, but just
well,
say.
Well, then it's hard to know whether you've actually contacted the person.
So I think that's probably right, but I think it's probably worth measuring now versus in the future, whether or not you can get in touch with someone who will respond to you, and it may be that it's not necessary. It may be that it's not an accurate measure of whether that person would actually resolve your problem or not. But it may, you know, it may be that you'll less frequently get in touch with someone that's responsive, and or maybe that you'll more frequently get in touch with someone responsive. I would imagine once you start talking with a human, you're far more likely to get some sort of action than if you don't get in touch with a human. So I think it probably makes sense, Steve. I think it would probably make sense to maybe take a look at both approaches. One would be sort of the quantitative, you know, look at, do sort of a sampling of addresses and try to get in touch with someone and see if it works. And the second would be to you could survey people and ask.
Sure. Well,
whether
yeah,
or not
I
they
can,
feel like it's better or worse.
I can't have said several times that it will do a sampling study of the accuracy of who is data, which I guess is a contactability issue, but I don't think it's ever done it. So and if it had done that, that might provide a baseline. But.
Right. Well, I think we could make it a matter of the policy recommendations
yeah.
that they actually do it, which hopefully would provide adequate inspiration to actually measure it. Are there any other thoughts about are there other things that we would be looking for success metrics in terms of reference item number 3? Okay, and then terms of reference number 4 is the accuracy or the response to complaints about inaccurate data. Terms of reference. So for this one, I think I would think this is actually where the deep accuracy survey proper probably goes. And in here, I would imagine we would want ICANN to look at each of the fields that is published and see whether or not are accurate and what scale are accurate. That would be the sort of odd, and look at that both before and after the implementation of the policy. I guess the second metric is to look at if there are complaints, whether or not registrars are actually, you know, if data is inaccurate, whether or not registrars are actually following the policy to take down the site.
Yeah, I think, you know, from that perspective, Jordan, you're just looking for feedback from the compliance. You know, that can be in the form of a regular commentary or report.
Yeah, no, so I think that's exactly right with this topic. Unless I'm missing, are there other things that we would want to be looking at other than looking at individual data fields, see if they're accurate on some sort of goal sampling basis and getting some sort of sense from the compliance staff of whether the registrars are actually taking down sites that are, or domains that have inaccurate data? Okay. So I think we have a tentative set of success metrics here. Are there any other, let me just sort of solicit generally, are there any other things that people would want to get some feedback on as part of the either success metric or feedback loop for this policy that we haven't talked about so far? So I'm going to note there's one, we flagged one action item here, which is for people to think about, and maybe Ross in particular semi-volunteered for it, to think about what how we might measure the impact of the policy on people's privacy. I don't think we have a very good measurement there, but I'll try to write up something briefly the other things that we talked about today, success metrics. And I'll try to get that sent out to the list today so we can have a session on it throughout the course of the week online. Okay.
Your line is in talk mode. To return to silent mode, press star 6.
Okay, any further discussion about success metrics? Okay. I'm going to move on then to second topic on the agenda, which is access to data. We had talked about this briefly 2 calls ago. I had promised to work offline with people regarding an approach, a sort of contract-based approach to access to data, which I started writing something up that I have not actually talked with anyone about yet. I think that was the only remaining action item there. I think it sounded like that the contractual-based approach and the sort of continue to allow people to work directly with registrars were the only two that had any significant degree of support based on our last call. So I'm going to, once again, I'll try to get something out to those that expressed interest in working on this later today, and we'll probably need to have some discussion on it on the next call. Is there any other, people had any other thoughts, or is there any other discussion needed in the access to data topic today? Okay. Moving on then to the third topic, which is public comments. I actually wanted to ask a quick question of Maria, I guess, before we go into the rest of the conversation, which is, Maria, have we captured, there were some public comments that were made at the mic in wherever we were last, Sao Paulo. Are those captured anywhere in the current report?
No, in fact, they're not. But I did do a summary of them at the time, so I could certainly put it into the report.
Okay, yeah, that seems like it would be useful, because there were a couple interesting comments there, I thought, that might be useful to make sure we get incorporated.
Sure. Will I put them in as part of the public comments section?
Yeah, I think so. I think we sort of invited people to comment in sort of the spirit of providing public comment at the mic, so I think it's appropriate to...
Great. Okay, thanks.
So that's one thing we need to do is make sure we're capturing those. The second item is, so we've got basically in the report right now a list, a summary of the public comments received. And some of the ideas are interesting and some of them are probably not so interesting. But I think it would be sad if we issued our report and had all these public comments and we just sort of went about our business and we've obviously talked some about them, but... I haven't actually seen any substantive changes in the policy come about as a result, and if we essentially, which is fine, I think we don't necessarily have to incorporate all of the, anything in particular from the public comments other than to make sure that we understand them and are taking them into consideration. But I think it is important that we at least acknowledge them or respond to them. So what I was going to suggest is that we might solicit a couple of small groups of volunteers. I think the response to the public comments will probably be a little bit different for each of the special circumstances in the OPOC proposal, and some of them address one policy or the other in particular. So what I was going to suggest is that I might solicit a small group of volunteers, like two or three people, one group supporting the special circumstances proposal or likely to do so, and one perhaps more aligned with the OPOC proposal, and each of those groups might want to put together a brief set of responses to public comments, and then essentially figure out either Maria could do it on her own as a first pass, or we could figure out as a task force how to get the comments incorporated the responses to the comments incorporated in. Back when we did the first police task force, I think actually Steve and Kathy Kleiman went through and put together some sort of they say this, here's our thoughts about it in response, and that seemed to work fairly well. Here I think since we have a couple different models, it's a little bit more complicated, but still seems like a worthy enterprise. So first let me ask, does that seem like a good approach to everyone? Doesn't that mean Jeff? So the next question is, can I ask, is anyone willing to volunteer to go through the public comments and write responses as relate to one proposal or the other?
And Jordan, sorry, it's Maria here. If it helps, I would be happy to go through them with people and talk to them on the phone and draft up things for them, if that would help.
Ah. So you'll even get staff support in this effort.
There you go.
volunteers. The alternative is Maria and I can just do this ourselves, but it may not be quite as satisfying, I suppose, for advocates of one position or the other.
Jordan, just Steve, just to clarify, I mean, I wouldn't think we would go through and respond, you know, say, here's comment number one, we say this about it, here's comment number two, we respond in this way. Is this more an effort to kind of draw out some of the main themes and kind of respond to those?
Well, yeah, exactly. Because so essentially Maria's summary of the general sort of ideas that came through, I think it would be working through at that level, not at the individual comment level.
I could certainly participate in such an activity. I mean, I don't think we should be too ambitious in terms of covering every single thing that's said, but I think we can kind of identify some of the major points that keep coming through. And
yeah, well, I mean, for example, let's say, I mean, you obviously probably would be more in favor of the special circumstances proposal, and some people would say, you know, we like the special circumstances proposal, and you would probably not need to write a whole lot about that.
Yeah.
Others might say, you know, we think the special circumstances proposal needs to be changed in way X, Y, or Z, and you could either say, well, we did change it, or it's actually not necessary because of blah.
Yeah, other people just say we hate it, and there's not really much we can respond
right.
to on that.
Yeah, no, I agree with that as well. So the comments that are essentially that either are trying to provide some feedback with regards to a particular proposal or ask a question or something, that might to provide some response. Okay, so we have Steve as a volunteer. Anyone from the OPOC side on this call? I think it might be either Ross or Tom or David or Avery. Up for volunteering? Okay, well, I'll try to actually talk with people offline, and if I can't find a volunteer, I'll work with Maria and we'll...
Jordan, it's Marilyn again. I'm not volunteering, but I just want to follow up on the clarification. So the purpose of this, again, is here's the feedback we received, and here's how the task has addressed the major clumps of feedback.
Yes, exactly. So basically at the same level that Maria has written her summary, which is, you know, here's an idea that was introduced, and, you know, maybe this person or a bunch of people supported that idea, then, you know, we've either taken that into consideration, or we decided it was, you know, or you misunderstood the proposal and it's not really relevant, or whatever.
Or this idea was out of the scope of terms of reference.
Right, exactly. So like this notion that several people suggested actually that we should publish like the registrant phone number and email address, for example. So the response to that might be, well, that's an interesting idea, but we actually, that data is not collected right now, and we're not in our terms of reference to change the data collected. That might be a reasonable response to that.
Got it. Thanks.
Hey, Jordan, Ross here.
Yeah?
Sorry, I had to step away for a second. But so are you looking for an analysis from the submitters of the proposal or from the task force? I missed that part. I'm sorry.
Well, so I think ultimately we'll want it to represent sort of so the problem is in some cases the comments are either specific to one proposal or the other, or I think the responses from the responses as would relate to the two proposals might be fairly different.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm actually suggesting is that at least as a first pass that someone that sort of advocates for one proposal or the other would, or at least one person from each proposal would go through and sort of write up a set of comments to the comments, and then as a task force we can work to incorporate it and figure out exactly how it will all fit together and to make sure that we're being generally responsive to them.
And are you looking for comments to the comments or comments to the summary?
Comments to the summary.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't mind helping out with that.
Okay, that would be great. So why don't we put Steve and Ross's name next to this for now, and if they want to recruit additional volunteers, I would encourage them to do so. And as Maria said, she's willing to provide some staff support for this exercise as well. I am going to add that just given our timeline, we probably need to have this done by the next call in order to make sure that we can discuss it and figure out how it's going to get incorporated into the report before we vote on the report the following week. Okay. Any other thoughts with the public comment section? If not, I'm going to move to our last topic, which is just to take a look at the report, and I'm going to ask a very open-ended question. Is there anything missing from the report as it stands right now that should be added that we haven't incorporated yet? I think Maria has already flagged that there's a couple things that that Marilyn suggested that aren't yet in the report, but which are going to be added. Is there anything else that people have seen looking at the report that feel like either we're not addressing or is missing or anything like that?
Jordan, sorry, it's Maria again. I was going to suggest me doing an executive summary of the report that would probably be maybe 2 to 3 pages long, and we could put it in the beginning to make it more accessible to people. Because it's quite a long report, it's probably going to run to about 130, 140 pages.
Yeah, probably a good idea. I suspect if this ever gets to like the board level, no one's going to get much further than the executive summary.
Okay. I was asking that this week as well so that people can review it and see if they're happy with it by next week's call.
Great. Fabulous. So, okay, well, I have an executive summary. Further thoughts on... any additional information that might be missing from the report? Oh, okay. That means we are hopefully getting close to being done in a sort of way that sadly I think will somewhat unsatisfying in the same way that our report on the purpose of Lilies was, but will nonetheless be done. So I think we've got a few, several action items from this, with specifically with regards to success metrics and the public comments, and I'm going to follow up also with the access to data. I think hopefully that will give us several more inputs to the report prior to next week's call. I'm going to try to get most of the stuff I'm working on out, today, so we can have some further discussion, either in groups or on the list. And then I would ask if people have action items that they've taken away to try to get them out no later than the end of day on Friday so people will have time to review them prior to the next call. And then on the next call, we'll try to work through the report, make sure we're incorporating everything, talking through any sort of final policy tweaks if they exist. And then we'll hope to get a final draft during the course of next week. Anticipation that we'll be voting to approve the report as well as provide some indication of support for the various policy recommendations during the following week. We actually probably, now that I think about it, we may need to, one topic I'd like to talk about next week, and maybe we can actually have a little discussion now if people want to, is one thing we've discussed in the past is that the way that PDP is structured is we probably actually need to submit a majority report and a minority report. Right now, the way that we submitted the report for the preliminary report, we just sort of say, here's a couple of different policy ideas. What we may actually need to do, I would think, would be to get sort of a cohesive narrative and maybe two different cohesive narratives, one of which is going to become the majority report and one of which is going to be the minority report with regards to the motivations and decisions and the policy recommendations that go for that report, and then we'll have the other one sort of be the minority report depending on how the voting in the task force goes. So, Maria, can I actually ask, maybe in order to jumpstart that process, can we talk offline and figure out how to maybe put together a first draft of what, like a main report, a majority report, and then a minority report? I recognize that I think the minority report is supposed to actually be drafted by the minority, but we can at least put together an initial framework that might be since we probably won't know what the majority and minority reports are until relatively late in this process, at least put together sort of a general framework that will work across the board with all the factual stuff, and then a section of policy recommendations probably that make up, sure, two sections of policy recommendations, one of which will become the majority report and one of which will become the minority report.
Sure, Jordan, I'll be happy to do that.
Great. Does that sound like a reasonable approach to everyone? Okay, hopefully that means yes. So we'll try to get that out as well this week. So if people want to start to tweak individual sections or narratives, I think that's probably fine as well over the following week. Okay, so I think we've actually got a fair amount of offline work to do between now and the next call. So did I hear a comment?
Jordan, it's Meryl. I just wanted to tell you that I had to drop off, but I'll catch up with David. I know we're almost...
Okay, we're going to finish in about 2 seconds anyway. So since we do have a lot of offline work to do, there's no reason to prolong this call any further. So we will resume next week with a hope of following up on the action items from this call and reviewing, hopefully, what's starting to look like a relatively final state of report and putting together some of the pieces.
Thanks, Jordan.
Okay, thanks, everyone. I will speak to you a week from today.
Bye-bye.
Thanks,
Jordan.
Bye.
Hotel night, airline tickets, holidays, or simply a delicious meal. Stay at Le Méridien Cyberport and earn your...